Could you quote me? This week is Parshas Va'eschanan. What is unique about this week's Parsha? Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Shabbos, Nachamu. Okay, it's a big week. It's a big week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us Nachamu. Now let's, before we discuss Shabbos, Nachamu, let's discuss the significance of today. What is today? Today, did you say Tachnun today? Hope not. Did you say Tachnun yesterday by Mincha?
No.
Nope, so you got a break already, a double break. Are you going to say Tachnun by Mincha?
No.
That's because Erev Shabbos.
Right.
See, I daven in the Chassidus Shtibul, usually Mincha the whole year round, and they never, ever, ever say Tachnun.
Right.
I say Tachnun
right.
When I say Tachnun when they don't say Tachnun.
Right.
And there's always the joke that whenever it's Rosh Chodesh, they give it, before they begin Mincha, they give a clap. Rabbi Sar, I want to remind you, today is Rosh Chodesh. Don't forget to say Yal V'Yavo, and remember, Rabbi Sai, we will not be saying Tachanun today. It's Rosh Chodesh. And everyone chuckles. I, Yishno Ayan, this year, Lag Ba'oimir, I'm in the habit of always saying Tachanun. I'm in the habit. Because I always say it. I was shocked that someone even noticed that I say Tachanun, because I dive on the side, and it was Lag Ba'oimir, and they didn't ever say Tachanun. So I just forgot it was Lag Ba'oimir. And after Shemona Esrei, I put my hand down to say Tachan.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I heard Koilo Subrakim, someone from the other side, one of the senior members of the shul, from the other side of the shul, who happened to, I guess he notices that I say Tachan, and he screamed across the room, Lag Ba'Oimer, there's no Tachan. He was singling me out. You are Varyon. How dare you say, what he was basically saying to me is, how dare you say Tachanun every day?
The regular day you say it, when they don't say
yes,
it.
Of course.
What?
So that's a very good question. We discussed this. And the answer is, it depends. It really varies on the shul. If the people in the shul are not marked it, then Adrabi, you should say Tachlun, if that's your minik. If you're in a shul where there's a hakpod, the bedavka, not to say, then you're right. Then it's mamish, lois is going to do. You're racing on the people to make them upset. Ubi Yasser. Where I daven, it's a mamish kimat, usually a minion mitzumsum. The minion is not officially the minion of the shul. It's the minion of the koilel. And three other people in the koilel are litvaks, who also say Tachlun. So, and the other people, it's clear as day, they could not care less if we say Tachanun. So in this particular situation, from what our understanding is, that there is no prohibition of lois hiskoydu, and there's no one getting upset that you're going against the minig of the shul. Because it's not even the shul. This is a private minion, a koilel rents space in a shul. And they daven mincha. It's not even on the sign of the shul that this mincha is part of the shul's mincha. Yeah. No, I say tachanun out when they say aleinu. That's what I do. That's right. After aleinu, I wait until kaddish tiskabel. And after kaddish tiskabel, when they say aleinu, I say tachanun. That's the time when probably most people notice the least. Some people have, they say tachanun when they finish the private shmona esrei before they begin chazaras hashatz. So I don't. But that's after the whole tefillah. It was after Olenu and after Kaddish Yosef, right. So that is not necessarily the ideal thing to do, because we learned this, because you're supposed to say Tachanun as close to the Shmoyne Esrei as possible. Okay, we discussed all of these issues. I know exactly what you're referring to. Tivrish Menat Sibur. We discussed this. We are tshuvas on this, and that kuntres that I had in Mamish deals exactly with these issues, and it's exactly what it says there. We're following what it says there in the tshuvas, exactly what, anyway, the three people there who would say Tachanun, we follow what it says there. Even though we knew that before, we actually saw this kuntres. Anyway, let's learn today, we're getting sidetracked. Today is Tu B'Av. What is the significance of Tu B'Av? So we learned the last couple of days many different ideas of Tu B'Av. I wanted to tell you the simplest idea of Tu B'Av. It's not in the Gemara, but it's definitely true, and it definitely opens up a bit of an appreciation of what Tu B'Av is. This is, again, it's not in the Gemara, so it can't be the Pshat. It has to be more of a Drush. And that is what happened on Tisha B'Av. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. the Gantz Klal Yisrael is in a state of Avelus. And Tisha B'Av, we're in Avelus. We sit on the little chair and we're Noyek Avelin. How long does Avelus last? 7 days. Rachmana Litzla, when a person suffers a loss, he's an Avel, he sits Shiva for 7 days. And on the seventh day, Miksas Hayoim Kikuloi, he gets off from Shiva. If the Chorban Beis HaMikdash took place on the ninth day, so the ninth day is the first, 10th is the second, 11th is the third, 12th is the fourth, 13th is the fifth, 14th is the sixth, and today is Tu B'Av, is the seventh day of Shiva. This morning, after davening, Klal Yisrael got up from Shiva. Okay, Klal Yisrael. Now, is that a simcha? No. You never saw someone go make a party when they got up from Shiva. You don't make a party when you get up from Shiva, but it is significant at least to the degree that Gantz Klal Yisrael got up from Shiva. So why then is there an element of, is this different? When Rachmana Litzlan Oval gets up from Shiva, what is the technique? When Gantz Klal Yisrael gets off from Shiva, what is the technique? What happens? The Avelim sit together, and the people, there's someone there that says to the Avelim, there's a Yiddish expression, I don't know, they say, get up. They tell the Avelim, it's time to get up. And the Avelim rise. And everyone says together, before they rise, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem B'soch Sh'Aveli Tzion V'Yushalayim. Problem is, the whole Klal Yisrael today, this morning, was still sitting Shiva. Miksas Hayoyim Kekuloi. Who is the one in the room that says to everyone, it's time to get up? Who is the one that said to Klal Yisrael, Hamakom Yinachem Eschem B'soch Sh'Aveli Tzion V'Yushalayim? Everyone's an Avel. So who's the one that's telling everyone to get up? The answer is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kumi Hisnari Me'ofar Kumi. Today, the Simcha today is that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself spoke to us. How often does the Ribbono Shel Olam come and speak to you? Today is a very unique day. If the Gantz Klal Yisrael is in a state of Avelus, and today we have to leave, we have to exit, we have to leave the Avelus. We need someone to say to us, get up! There's no one else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. The covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael today is, he says to us, his Nari may offer Kumi. Get up from your Avelus. This is also an Avelus. He's also an Avelus. But his Avelus is different. It's true, you're right.
I think it's much worse than Avelus.
So maybe it is. Maybe in his Avelus, but still in all, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Kol Yochol. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, relative to us, is the one that the proof is Nachamu Nachamu Ami. What the proof is, you're right. There's no doubt about it. Hashem is an Avelus. He feels much more pain than us. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is unique in that he can be everywhere at every single moment in time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be here, can be there. He can serve different roles for different people in different moments of time. He's an Avelus, but yet he's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he can still at the same moment in time be Menachem us. The proof is the Haftorah. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. That's the Haftorah. The Shiv the Nechemda. We have seven Haftorahs. We have seven, the 7 weeks going on for 7 weeks. Today, the Ribbono Shel Olam has told us it's time to get up and to move forward. To move forward with life, to bring Nechama, to find comfort in this world. And the truth is, that's there's nothing. Everything is b'hashkacha pratis. What is the opening line of the parashah? Vo'es Chanan is always the parashah of Parashas Nachman. What is Vo'es Chanan all about? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'eschanan el Hashem v'esa yileinu Hashem v'atoa hachilois laharois avdecha eskolcha v'yasir chazaka Hashem yikel v'ashman v'aretz." He's mispal ebrono v'ere es ha'oretz hatoivo asher v'ever hayardin ha'hor hatoiv hazev ha'alavonon. The parashas v'eschan is just because the base hamikdash was destroyed. Hashem slammed the door in our face. Hashem said, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash this week. We begin this week, V'eschanan, let's start all over again. We follow in the lead of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, he gave us a patch. He told us no is no. So you told Moshe Rabbeinu no is no also. No also. That did not stop Moshe Rabbeinu from starting all over again. V'eschanan el Hashem. I'll be mispalot to Hashem. And the truth is, Chazal said that Hashem was willing to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem was willing. That's why Hashem has said to Moshe Rabbeinu, stop. Because you've already prayed 515 tefillos. If you're going to pray one more tefillah, Hashem Kavyochol says, my hands are tied. I have to let you into Eretz Yisrael. And I have reasons that you don't understand. I can't explain to you, you're not going to understand. You can't go to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem was willing. If Moshe would have been misfollowed one more time, it would have worked. So we're not limited. The limitations of Moshe Rabbeinu do not apply to us. Do not apply to Gans Klal Yisrael. So therefore, it's not a coincidence that Parshas V'eschanan begins where? Right after Tisha B'Av. Because what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu was Tisha B'Av on his private level. And although he had his own Tisha B'Av, his private Tisha B'Av, still the lesson is, get up. Don't take no for an answer when it comes to these matters. You have to go and work and rebuild. Rebuild and try the best that you can to succeed. Therefore, we learn, there's no better week to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu than the beginning of Parashat V'eschanan, to rebuild, to reboot, and to be mispalel, be mevakei Hashem, be boi Hashem, that we should be zoche, to go into Eretz Yisrael to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, v'meher v'yameinu, amen. Now let's go to the next idea. What else happened on Tu B'Av? We didn't even get to this, unfortunately, this week in our discussion. We discussed it at a much greater length, and that is the Haruge Beitar Nitnu L'Kvur. What was the Haruge Beitar? Approximately 52 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was a major city in Eretz Yisrael that was still functioning 100%. And in this city, there were Talmidei Chachamim that were of the highest caliber, including none other than the Heiluk Rabbi Akiva, one of the Asarugi Malchus. Now, we don't know all the details of what happened, but in Beitar, there was a major war, a revolt against the Romans. The people of Beitar, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? The Romans, by Sheni. And the Romans pretty much controlled the entire Middle East. And they controlled the entire Eretz Yisrael. And in the city of Beitar was a person, a leader by the name of Bar Kozbi. And Bar Kozbi was a charismatic, dynamic leader. And he gathered the people and they rebelled against the Romans to the degree where they established autonomy. They were completely independent. The Romans were completely removed from this city, from their society, from this region, whatever it was. After they kach, they even minted their own coins. Here we have the coins today, the Machsa Shekel, from the time of Beitar. That's where all those coins come from. For two years, they minted their own coins. But Rabbi Akiva, who was living in Beitar, was of the opinion, he was not shy about this, that Bar Kozbi was the Melech HaMashiach. He was the Melch Dorach Koichov Miyakov. He believed that this individual's charismatic general was the Melech HaMashiach. L'chor, he meant the Melech Mefarshei Mashiach Ben Yosef. And Chazal tell us he could have been. He was meant to be. He could have been. And what happened? We don't know exactly what happened. Things turned sour. He showed some disrespect for the Talmidei Chachamim. He told his army that in order to serve in my army, you have to cut off your thumb or one of your fingers in order to show how strong-minded you are, that you're willing to inflict yourself harm upon yourself. And the soldiers did that. They cut off, they mutilated their own bodies to show how strong-minded they were. And the Chacham were very, very, it's not pleasing in their eyes that a person should do this. There's a long, long story. There's a lot of details. Some things we do know. Probably there are more things about Bar Kochba that we do not know, we do not appreciate. But one thing is for sure. What? Yes, that was later on. That was a later event. There's an entire sequence of events that took place. We're not going into all the details. But basically, this was a Melchama when they were fighting the Romans. This could have been and should have been Melchames Goig Umagog. And Bar Kozbi was the Mashiach ben Yosef. And none other than the Heiluk Rabbi Akiva, the head of the Asadog Malchus, was the one that said that this is it. We're now holding here Yemos HaMashiach after the ultimate Holocaust. Okay, the ultimate Holocaust, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You could imagine how depressed and how low people were. And after 52 years, people really began to look back and view that the Churban Beis HaMikdash was just a catalyst to bring Mashiach. Just like many people said that after the Holocaust, that was the mamish, the belief was, it was just a catalyst now to bring Mashiach. And I don't know, something went sour. Things turned sour. No one, it's not exactly clear what happened. And Bar Kozbi, one thing led to another. He was killed. He died. And if he died, he cannot be the Melech HaMashiach. And all came to an end. With his death, his defeat, not only did they lose autonomy of Beitar, the Romans sacked Beitar. There was nothing left. There were no survivors. The numbers of victims is just enormous, in the millions. It's not even clear how many people died there, but it was in the millions. And the death was so horrible that they did not even bury the dead. The dead were not buried. Instead, they were piled up in stacks, massive stacks, as a barrier, as a wall, and they used the blood that flowed from their bodies to fertilize the fields for 7 years. The bodies were not buried for 7 years. 7 years later, somehow the Roman government became weak. It was weakened in the world, whatever happened. There was a new Caesar, and the new Caesar said, you know what? Jews, if you really want, you can go back to Beitar, and we give you permission to bury your dead. The Jews went back to Beitar, wherever the survivors were, and lo and behold, the bodies did not rot. A miracle of miracles. The bodies were still fully intact after 7 years, and they proceeded to dignify the bodies by giving them a proper Kever Yisrael. Chazal, who were active at this time, they were very active. This was one of the times when Chazal were in their prime, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and they decided to institute a new bracha. They made two new brachas. They made the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam HaTov VeHameitiv, and they instituted the bracha in Birchas Hamazon. They ate a fourth bracha to Birchas Hamazon HaMelech HaTov VeHameitiv LaKol Shebuchol Yoyim VeYoyim VeChulu VeChulu. They instituted the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon, and they explained why are there two expressions: HaTov VeHameitiv, HaTov Shelo Nishchu VeHameitiv SheNitnu LeKvura. They thanked Hashem for two miracles. Number one, that the bodies did not decay. Number two, that the bodies were buried, were nidnu l'kvura. What is the deeper, and this all took place on Tu B'Av. What is the deeper message about these, about this event taking place on Tu B'Av, and how does it relate to us today? The answer is, this generation, there was never a generation in the history of the world that was clearly marked to be the Dor Shel Mashiach. We're always imagining, oh, this could be Mashiach, this could be Tzidkiyo, could be Mashiach, and Asher could be Goig u'Magog. Yeah, these are all nice things, Acher HaMaisa and Midrashim. But this was the real deal. Rabbi Akiva himself, hey, look at Rabbi Akiva. There's no one greater than Rabbi Akiva. Said Bar Kozbi is the Psak Halacha, is the Melech HaMashiach. Beitar is, this is the Milchemes Goig u'Magog. This is the Dor Shel Mashiach. The Geula is here. And what happened? It went sour. People could have been misled to believe it's over. If the Dor Shel, they failed, and something went wrong, whatever it is, however you want to define it, went wrong, it's it. There will never be Mashiach Chas V'Shalom. We blew it to the point where this can never be replicated again in Jewish history, where there can be a door that is clearly the door shel Mashiach, where we know who the Melech HaMashiach is, and we have the big picture of what's going to happen. The nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought for Klal Yisrael by not allowing the bodies to decay for 7 years and allowing for the bodies to be buried was Hashem's way of saying, Mashiach is still coming. The door shel Mashiach was not Nisrach. It did not decay. It's alive and well. The door shel Mashiach is Nitma. They go to, you know, everyone knows what it says, Pei Nun, on every Matzeva. It says Pei Nun. What does those two words stand for? Nice Gematria, what does it stand for? Po, so some will tell you it means Po Nikba. They'll tell you, the Nun stands for buried. Po here is Nikbar, is buried so-and-so. That's not necessarily accurate. The more accurate Nun is Nitman. Tomon, here is put away temporarily. When Nikbar, it means buried, gone, goodbye. Ask a guy, what does it mean buried? It means that's it. The guy is never coming back. He decays, turns into dust. Nitman means here there's a treasure. There's a secret treasure 6 feet. 6 feet under, there's a secret treasure. It's Tomon, it's hidden. And when will we take out the treasure? In the right time. There's a time for everything. The day will come when we Tchiyas HaMeisim, and the treasure, the person who was a tzaddik, who was Mekayim Hashem's Ratzon, this neshama will resurface. It will be removed from the box. It will reappear. Po Nitman. Here it's put away for safekeeping for the moment. But better days are yet to come when we will remove the treasure and we will use the treasure. The fact, the miracle that the door of Beitar was buried, was Nitman, and did not decay, was Hashem's way of saying, Mashiach is very much alive and well. Just because this was the door shel Mashiach, it was clearly earmarked through Rabbi Akiva and through the circumstances. Everything made perfect sense. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, at the Holocaust, it was clear. This can only be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the Yisurim that have come, the Chevle Mashiach, Elit Tzion Ve'orecha, Kamo Isha V'tzireha. It's clear as day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Mashiach. And then when it didn't happen, it was a very, very great disappointment. And people, Rachmana Litzlan, can be led down the wrong way thinking it's never going to happen. Hashem has spoken. Chas v'sholoim. The door shel Mashiach lo nisrach. The door shel Mashiach is nitman. It's put away for safekeeping. And it will come in the right time. Afal pi sheyismanea im kol zeh achak eloi b'chol yoim sheyava. That is what Tu B'Av is. We even begin to appreciate what today is. Today is the Yom Shel Mashiach. Today is the Emunah. Today is the day when the Ribbono Shel Olam has spoken, made it clear as day, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach will come. And how appropriate it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should say this to Klal Yisrael on the day when we get up from Shiva. What better nechama can it be for Klal Yisrael when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes today and he says, today is the seventh day from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You've been sitting shiv for 7 days. Kumi, hisnari, may offer kumi, rise up from where you are. Get up. And I'm telling you, Mashiach is going to come. Don't be upset. Don't despair that you've lost the ultimate Kedusha in this world. Mashiach's going to come soon. I'm going to show it to you, Mashiach's going to come. Because the door shel Mashiach Eloi Nisrach, the Nitzman, has been put away for safekeeping for the last day. This is the ultimate Nechama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us on this day when we get up from the Shiva of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tomorrow, Rabbi Sai, this particular year is a very special year because tomorrow it's the first real day. You have to appreciate that. Today we sat Shiva. Today is the seventh day. We should really sit Shiva the whole day. It should be a miserable day today. There's a principle in halacha called mixas hayoyim kikulay. But there has to be mixas. Okay? So we did the mixas. We're done. Shachas, you do the mixas. You sit for 5 minutes. Yoytze. But tomorrow is Shabbos. Tomorrow is really a very special day. Because tomorrow is the first day after. The first day, the first full day when we begin to rebuild. We begin to reconstruct the Beis HaMikdash in all of its multifaceted dimensions. With Yirat Shamayim, with Torah, with Musar, with Hadracha, Emunas Chachamim, politics for those who are involved, okay, for activism, whatever you got to do, whoever side of the spectrum you're on, tomorrow is day one. Today is day zero. We're not ready yet. Today we're still walking around the block. You have to walk around the block, ear your head out. Okay, it's a very big mystery why you walk around the block after you get from Shiva. Escort the neshama, Kabbalistic and Yanim, whatever these Yanim are, but whatever, what? To get back into the world, to ear your head out, because tomorrow, what? A circle, right? You go circle, whatever it is, but tomorrow, we should appreciate that tomorrow is the first real day. And on the first real day, how do we start? How beautiful it is. Zo eschanan el Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu put the words in our mouth. He told us what to do tomorrow on the first wheel, the first fresh day. It's to get your act together and start all over again. Be mispalel from the building of the Beis HaMikdash and don't take no for an answer. Don't be like me. I could not go into Eretz Yisrael for whatever the reasons are, but you... Hashem is maskim. Hashem said, just daven enough, show you want it enough, and it's yours. This is the lesson we learned from this week's parasha. Now let's go to another idea. I'll tell you what idea. I said over on Tisha B'Av. I wonder if I said it here. I really don't remember if I said this thing over here in the shir. If I did, fine. If not, it will be chazara. We have over here this week's parasha, the Toichacha. I once had a discussion with you. There are four Toichachas in the Torah. What are the four Toichos in the Torah? You were not here. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. One prat. There are four Toichos. What are the four Toichos? Parashas Bichu Kosai, Parashas Kisavai. This week's Parashah, Parashas Voeschanan. This is not a Toichacha. You're not going to tell me it's not a Toichacha. The laning that we read on Tisha B'Av. What was the laning of Tisha? Ki savohu ki soiled banim uvnei vanim v'noishantem baritz v'hishchatem v'asisem pesel t'munas kol v'asisem harabinei Hashem v'kech lachiso hay doisi b'chem hayoy mes ha'ashamayim v'yes aritz ki avoid toy v'idun maher me'al ha'aretz ha'ashatem v'yavim sh'yadim 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 v'yishtoa lo yisarichun yomim moleho. I mean, the psukim go on and on and on. And they really four psukim. There are four psukim in the Tayyacha. Okay, v'heifetz Hashem eschem bo'amim b'nishartem b'seim b'spar b'agoyim asher yinayik asher esam shama. It goes on over here. We have psukim over here of Tayyacha. What's the fourth Tayyacha? Parshas Nitzavim. Okay, Parshas Nitzavim, that was the Kriya Satayra on 9/11. Anyone who went to show 9/11, they laned Gofris, Melach, Srefa, Kol Arza. In Parshas Nitzavim, there's also some very shocking psukim. There are four Toichachos. A while ago, I explained to you that these four Toichachos correspond to Rav Ruchol, The Dalid Malchios. Okay, the Dalid Malchios. That's what we discussed. So I'm not, we're not going to review that. I want to just review. I just want to focus on another Indian. I'll tell you a story from the Kleisenberger Rebbe. This story, did I tell this to you, the story? I said this on Tishlo, I don't know if I said it over here. The story is, everyone knows Kleisenberger Rebbe was an amazing, amazing person. They just put out a film to the secular. The film was made for the secular, the Chiloinim in Eretz Yisrael, where I understand it was a smashing hit. And the life of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He, in Kleisenberg, in Poland, right? Poland? Wasn't Hungary, right? He was in Poland? No. Where was he? Hungary?
Yeah,
Hungary. Hungary, okay, I'm sorry. Hungary? Okay, he had 11 children. And a wife, of course. And Achman and Litzlan, they were all killed. Hashem Yilkom Dama, they were killed. And he was tortured. And yet, after he miraculously survived the horrors that were done to him in the Holocaust, and then when he was liberated in the DP camps, he became mamish everything. He became everyone's cheerleader. He became everyone's spiritual leader. He went around and was mechazek people. People attribute, the only reason why they're from was because of the chizuk that he gave them in the DP camps, despite the fact that he lost 11 children and his wife. Came to America. He remarried, I don't know if I remember, he remarried, and he had 7 more children. He rebuilt, he was, I think they say, the only person, only survivor from the Hasidic world that succeeded in building a dynasty both in America and Eretz Yisrael. All of those who rebuilt their dynasties built it only in one of two places, either in Eretz Yisrael or in America, not both. Okay, today you'll find the people they travel back and forth. So we have a shtickel chassidus both places, but they don't have, no one has 2 major centers. The only one that built 2 major centers in American chutzpahs was the Kleisenberger Rebbe. He built a hospital, one of the best hospitals. The entire has 500 beds. How many beds are there in Maimonides? I don't even know. It's a big number. 500 is a big, big number. What's with the Latin? I can't remember how you pronounce it.
Laniato.
Sans Laniato in Netanya. Okay, it's a major hostel and it's run according to halacha. It's the only, probably the only hostel in the whole area to show where halacha is what is the decisions in the hospital are guided by Das Torah for real. Okay, it's a very unique hospital. And he built it. He made a neder in the Holocaust. If he survives, he's going to build a hospital. And Kachi, there are incredible stories about him. After the war, at some point in time, he was in New York, right after the war. I don't know the circumstances. He was in Bedford, Stuyvesant, the Bronx.
Williamsburg?
No, it's the Bronx, says in the book. Where is that? Williamsburg? Maybe then it was in the Bronx. No? Can't be? Okay, I made a mistake then. I saw this story in Torah Tavlin by Rav David Hoffman. So it's a new book, an English book, Torah Tavlin by David Hoffman. He was in the, it says in this hospital, wherever it was, in the Beth Moses Hospital. He had a minion, he was leading a minion in this hospital, the Beth Moses Hospital, wherever it was, in Williamsburg or the Bronx, wherever it was. And it was the parishes of Teuch. I guess it was either the Chukoysa Kisavai, and the Baal Kriya was laying the Teuchicha. And as the minig is, when you lay in the Teuchicha, what do? You lay it low. And you lay it a little bit fast. That's the minig Yisrael. By the way, it doesn't say anywhere to do this. It doesn't say anywhere. But this is the minig. Hanach l'hem l'Yisrael. This is the minig Yisrael. They're laying it fast. They're laying it low. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe Zechutzal Levracha was sitting by Yishtenda. And he starts banging. And he says, Heche, louder, Heche. So Baal Kriya was a little bit taken aback. What do you mean, Heche? That's not the minhag. All right, maybe I was letting it too low. So he lays a shtickel more. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe was not satisfied. And he bangs on his shtend and he starts making a scene. Heche, Heche, louder, louder. He wanted the Baal Kriya mamish to scream. So at some point in time, the people, I don't know exactly, doesn't say the details, they stopped and they demanded an explanation. This is not the minhag. So he said, why do you lay the Teuchicha low? It's because you're afraid. Chas v'sholem, Ribbono shel Olam, should not bring upon you the curses and the toichacha. We don't want to wake up the satan. Al tiftach pel the satan. The Kleisenberger Rebbe says, we're all survivors. I lost 11 children. How many did you lose? We all were all survivors. There is nothing in the toichacha that we did not experience. And we did not see peshutoi kimashmo. Nothing. What are we afraid of? It already happened to us. And yet, we're here today, and we're maminim. B'nei maminim. We all said today, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. After all that, for us in this room, the toichacha is a badge of honor. And therefore, adrabah, instead of us saying the toichacha hushed and at a quick pace, it's kedai for us to say the toichacha loud and clear with passion. And that's what they did. Now, Rabbi Yisai, we don't do this. Don't get me wrong. This is. We've never ever seen someone do this. So, halacha l'maisa, this is not acceptable. But interesting, there are four toichas in the Torah.
Is it halacha minig?
What? It's a minig. It's a minig. But a minig is oiger halacha. Excuse me. Minig is bigger than halacha. Yeah. Minig is oiger halacha. No. You don't make a new minhag. Minig is oiker halacha. Minig is the shtetl.
In the settlements where there's a terrorist attack, on Shabbos they will say Aber Achman, even if it's
okay,
because they've accepted the...
Okay, that's different. Because we say Aber Achman, anyway we say Aber Achman. We anyway say Aber Achman during the certain months because of the Crusades. It was made for that, L'chatchila, in a Hanami. But here, so we don't do this. No one does. No one's going to do this. Now, I just want to take note. So on Tisha B'Av, I said, one of the keynotes of Tisha B'Av is, Eicha Meira Shoisai Tif'arti Hishlichu. One of the keynotes of Tisha B'Av is about the Toichacha. The whole keynote is all built on the psukim of the Toichacha. So I said, and then, even though we don't pass like the closest to the Rebbe, but on Tisha B'Av, you pass him like it. Because Tisha B'Av, Gans Klal Yisrael, is reflecting upon the Tzoris of Klal Yisrael. And you reflect upon the Tzoris of Klal Yisrael, the fact that everyone has still come together on Tisha B'Av, and you can say on Tisha B'Av, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, even when you focus on the Tzoris, so you know what? When you say the Kina, Eicha Sifarti Meiroshosai Tashlichu, which dwells upon the Teichacha, you can say it loud and clear. You can pass it like the closing of the Rebbe. It's taka, a badge of honor. Because there's nothing in the Teichacha that Klal Yisrael has not experienced in the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash and all of the collective tzaris that we dwell upon on Tisha B'Av. But guess what? On Parshas V'eschanan is the same thing. There's no minig on Parshas V'eschanan to laying this toichacha, which is one of the four toichachas, quietly. We lay the toichacha loud. This is real toichacha. Ki soiled bad v'nei 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 shantan ba'aretz. Ki shavu lechem. It says you're going to be destroyed. Ki avoy toivedun maher. There are four pesukim of incredible toichacha. You've never come to a shul where they say it low. You say it loud. You know why you say it loud? Because this toichacha, you paskin like the Kleisenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. You know why? Because we've just gone through Tisha B'Av. This is a hemshich of Tisha B'Av, and guess what? It's the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av. It's the Kriyas HaTorah of Tisha B'Av. And if we have gone this week through Tisha B'Av, and we indeed have reflected, we've gone through all the 45 kinos, if you were so lucky to say all 45 kinos, and you reflected upon all of the tzoros of Klal Yisrael, and you didn't lose your mind, and you're still here today, and you're able to say on Shabbos morning, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, in this door, already 1,948 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and guess what? It's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor that after everything has come upon us, after all these years of Golus, and we've experienced everything that can possibly be, every curse, every klala, we've paid quite a heavy price in blood for all of the tzaras, and we can still make a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah. It's a badge of honor. And here, we can pass him here, indeed, we do pass him at the closing of the Rebbe, and we say this Teichecha loud and clear. Okay, let's go now. Yeah.
I'd like to add a little Fuzzenberg before, which comes together to Nechama. When we go to Chalila to a base of others, like Hamokim Nachameska, the sign, he's the omnipresent God. Fuzzenberg said, Hamokim doesn't mean the Eberstein, it means the place. And he was able to say this. After the tear of the person, you look around, you see the Mishpacha, Shomer, Torah, and Mitzvahs.
It's the Gerest in the Chamor. The Gerest, the beautiful. The Mokim, the family, the base Ovel. In the base of the fact that you have Yirei Mushleimim that are here, this Mokim, this bias, this is the Gerest in the Chamor. Beautiful, beautiful. Zechusa Yogein Aleinu.
The reason he was so successful was because first of all, he was the only, let's say, Hasidic Rav who was a Haimach of Eretz Yisrael.
He was a Zionist.
Eretz Yisrael, and the purpose of the hospital was basically to make more and more kids in Israel. That's one of the.
He's a Zionist. You're saying that he was a Zionist.
He was a Zionist.
He was Zionist. That's right. Don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed to say the word Zionist. He was a Zionist. Zehu. 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 I spoke on Tisha. I spoke about Eretz Yisrael Tisha B'Av. So I said something. I spoke to my crowd. It was a little more Haredi. And I said something. Someone said, I tried to be extremely careful because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a Zionist to my crowd. So I went out of my way not to be a Zionist. But some people, one person, he was like trying, you know, to epis, he almost sounded like a Zionist. He almost. So I said, what do you mean almost? What do you mean almost? I am a Zionist. What are you embarrassed? What are you so embarrassed of? What are you trying to hold back? You don't have to hold back. You don't have to hold back. It's ridiculous to hold back. What? No, Chas v'Shalom, we didn't walk out. Anyway, I didn't cross the line anyway.
What did you say,
Shalit Zion? You were there, you heard.
Yeah, but you said
Shalit Zion,
so he tears that page
up. No, that. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go to the next Vard. Okay, let's go. Okay, I don't want to lose out. And I want to tell you a very good Vard. I want to do a very deep Vard. This Var to me is very chaviv. I have told you before we ran out of time. And I'm curious to know what you think about it. I don't think it's not controversial at all. I'm curious if you think it makes any sense. I came across a very interesting question. The observation is the difference between the Aseres HaDibros here in Parshas Hanan and the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro. So there are many differences. One of the main differences is the words Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. It says this expression Kasher Tzivcha, do this mitzvah just like I commanded you, like Hashem commanded you in two of the Dibros here in Parshas Vaeschanan. And it does not say that in the corresponding location in Parshas Yisro. Can you guess what they are? One is Kibud Avoim. Okay, Kibud Avoim, it says in the Pasuk. Okay, it says, Kabeid Esavich V'yasimecha Kasher Tzivicha Hashem Elokecha. It does not say this in Parshas Yisro. And what is the min kasher tzivcha Hashem? When did Hashem command Klal Yisrael to give honor to their parents? In Mora. What was Mora? Right after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people encamped in a place called Mora. The reason why it was called Mora is because the waters were bitter. and there was nothing to drink, and the people complained to Hashem. Hashem took out Moshe took out a stick, a bitter stick, and he hit the water. He put it into the water, the bitter stick into the bitter water, and two bitters made positive, turned the water from bitter into sweet. In that location, while they were there and they were complaining about the bitter water, there's nothing to drink. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu told them, let's learn some Torah. And what did he teach them? He taught them the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. So it comes out that this halach of Kibud Avoim was not only taught to Klal Yisrael, on Har Sinai, it was also taught to Klal Yisrael in Mara. Right after the Aseres, and Rashi quotes the pasuk. Rashi over here says, "Kasher tzivucha Hashem elokecha." Over here in pasuk Tezayin, page 509 in the Art Scroll, "Kasher tzivucha af al kibud avoein nitztavu b'mora shenemar shom there in Mora som lo Moshe set lo for him." Here it means for Klal, so the collective noun, chok u'mishpat, various laws, chok. Law, statutes and mishpat and the laws, Moshe taught them Torah. What else did Moshe teach them? What else? Shabbos. Moshe taught them mitzvah of Shabbos. Let's go back to Shabbos. Shabbos is the third. Shemar Shema Shabbos L'kadoshay Kasher Tzivicha Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean Kasher Tzivicha? Kasher Tzivicha is same exact thing. Hashem, Shabbos was taught to Klal Yisrael in Mara. So it's very interesting. Shabbos and Kibud Avoim, and there are other things, some say Paraduma, there's a whole question exactly what they learned in Mara. But two things are for sure. In Mara, Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the mitzvah of Shabbos, and he taught them the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim. So when we observe the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim, and we observe the mitzvah of Shabbos, we're not just observing it because it was given to us in Har Sinai. We're observing it because it was also given to us in Mara. Contrast that with Bris Milah. Who was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah? Avraham Avinu. Do we observe Bris Milah because of Avraham Avinu? No. It's a very shocking thing to most people to hear that. We do not. We observe Bris Milah because it was given to us a second, only because it was given to us again on Har Sinai. But when it comes to Shabbos, and it comes to Kibud Avoim, no. Shabbos and Kibud Avoim, twice. It's unique. It was given to us on Har Sinai, and it was given to us at Mora. We observe for two reasons. It was given to us two different locations. That's what it comes out. Even though Bris Milah was also given to us twice, but Bris Milah was before Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Mela, that's bottle, and Mela we only do because of Har Sinai, only because of that. But Shabbos and Kibud Avoim, it says Beferish. Hashem says, observe the Shabbos, observe the Bris Milah, Kaasher Tzivich Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Himself is validating. I taught it to you once. I'm teaching it to you again. You're going to observe for two reasons. Okay, now let's put everything I told you right now on hold. Okay, there's a lot of things you can say about the fact that these two things come, they're the only two where it says in the Aseres Hadibros, this unique expression, Kasher Tzivicha, and it did not say these words, Kasher Tzivicha, in the first Dibros. Okay, you can say one thing, we have time now, is to say that the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim is especially significant on Shabbos. Being that the pasuk links Shabbos with Kibud Avoim, in that they're both called Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, like Gzeirah Shavah. Shabbos is basically Father's Day and Mother's Day. They always ask the question, oh, we don't celebrate Mother's Day because by us, Echad Dimension, it's Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Baloney. Okay? Mother's Day. Halavai, you should at least give b'chabi your parents on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Halavai. Okay, don't be mavatal, American pie, apple pie, and Mother's Day. Okay, don't be so quick to be mavatal Mother's Day. Okay, but you want to know when the real Mother's Day is? And when the real Father's Day is? Shabbos. Think about it. It's very, very true. There's a lot to be said about that, but right now I don't want to go there. We'll say more important to discuss. So we have none of the shul. There's nothing more important than that. Shouldn't we say that? But let's discuss something else
Rashi
for a moment.
Rashi says that if the parent tells you to be mechal Shabbos,
oh, very good. If the parent tells you, they're linked together in that respect, tell you mechal Shabbos, don't listen to them because I override it. But I want to say something different. I want to say that the dafka, the zman, if you do something every single day, then it's not significant. That's what you said. If everyone is special, if everyone is chashuv, no one is chashuv. If every day is Mother's Day, then Mother's Day is it's never going to be a Mother's Day. If there are times when there's more of an every day, of course, you have to be mechaber your parents. I'm not telling you how many courses here. But there are times when there's an extra emphasis to do the mitzvah. And that is definitely Shabbos. And the truth is, that's really what we do. We all come to, most people, they never see their children. They never eat together the whole week. And today in America, when was the last time you sat down to dinner with your children at a table? I don't know, maybe you do. I can't, from what I see, people, everyone is running around and no formalities anymore. But Shabbos you do. Shabbos is time to show respect for your parents. They sit at the head of the table, you behave yourself, and you machnias yourself to your parents. Okay, Shabbos is special, Zman Kasher, Tzivcha Shem Elokecha. But let's discuss something a little bit different now. Let's put what we just said right now on hold for one moment. Everyone knows the question, the issue, that there's something that it says in this week's Dibros that it did not say in the first Dibros. That's what makes the Shabbos a very special Shabbos. It says, Leman Yitav Loch, Toiv. It does not say the word Toiv in the first set of Luchos, which is why a very challenging idea, which really goes to the heart of theology, of understanding how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how Hashem knows the future. When Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres HaDibros the first time around on the Luchos that was made by Hashem and was written by Hashem, Hashem deliberately did not put the word Toiv into Leman Yitav Loch in the first Luchos. Why? Because Hashem knew that the first Luchos would be shattered by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that would mean that there would be damage to the word Toiv. The word Toiv would be damaged, even though to us it doesn't make a difference. But in the cosmic worlds of taking the word Toiv that the Eibishter himself etched into a tablet that he himself made, V'haluchos Masir Elokim Heima, V'hamichtav Michtav Elokim, and if Hashem for it to be destroyed, the world would Chas V'shalom Poska Toiva Mi Yisrael. Chas V'shalom, the word Toiv, should be taken away from Klal Yisrael. And what about everything else? What about everything else in the Torah? L'man Yarichun Yomecha. What about that? What about all the other beautiful expressions that are in the Aseres HaDibros? I don't know. It doesn't say. Okay. I want to say a Drush. And I think there's truth to the Drush. What exactly is the Toiv that Hashem did not want to be lost from Klal Yisrael? It says Toiv where? Where does it say the word Toiv? It says Toiv in the midst of Aseres HaDibros. In addition to it saying Toiv in the same sentence, it also says, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Kabeid esavicha v'yasimecha. Next, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. And then it goes on to say, L'man yarichun yomecha u'l'man yitavlach. I want to suggest to you the following chiddush. Doesn't say this anywhere. It might be a little bit of a stretch to say this. I want to say that when it says "Ulaman Yitavloch," so that it should be good for you, the toy that we are referring to is going back on Ka'asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokech. Just like it did not say "Ulaman Yitavloch" in the first set of Dibros, it also did not say in the first Dibros, Ka'asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. And the proof to that is that it's going back on the word Yitavloch, is going back on Ka'asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, is the other Ka'asher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Because for some mysterious reason, It didn't say Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha by Shabbos either. And here it says Kasher Tzivcha by Shabbos and Kasher Tzivcha by Kibud Av V'Em. So that proves that there has to be some truth to it. Because, so in other words, when it says, the reason Hashem did not write in the first Dibros, Uman Yitavloch, why not? Because Hashem did not write in the first Dibros, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Because the toiv, what is the toiv? What toiv? What are you talking about, toiv? The toiv is Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokech. What does that mean? These are just words which don't make any sense. So let me explain to you what sense I'm trying to make out of these words. And it's Mamish Apella. We learned what I'm about to tell you, Mila B'Mila today, Hashkocha Pradis Uncanny in the Malva. What's the toiv? When Klal Yisrael now get the Torah, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful day outside, right? And the temperature could not be better. And everything is fine and good. No problems. We have food, we have water, we have food, we have everything you could possibly want. Shelter, we have the Nani HaKavod. No one's trying to kill us. Everything is fine and good. When they came to Mora, it wasn't so pleasant. After Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, after them, they were all dead. Fine, they came tomorrow. It says there very clearly that they were very upset. They had nothing what to drink. There was no water. There was nothing to drink. And it was extremely challenging to deal with the contrast. We've just gone through incredible miracles. A tekufa of 10 makas, concluding with makas b'chayres, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, we merited to witness our enemies dead, and their bodies came out to the dry land so we can strip them from all the gold and silver. Hashem is with us. Hashem could not be more with us. And now you're telling me we're going to die from starvation? There's nothing to drink in this arid, desolate desert and with nowhere to go? We're going to just die from starvation? The contrast was just mind-blowing. They're going to die. We're going to die. After all this, where's God? Hashem was only good to take us out of the tribe, but here there is no... What's going on over here? Life could not have been more bitter, more challenging. And in this challenge, in this extremely, and you have to appreciate the challenge. It's not just stamazoi. Okay, you don't have what to drink. It's you don't have what to drink after everything else that happened. The mind, it's something which you have to ask a psychologist to explain the depth of the challenge that they were faced with. And they're not like us, who has in our pocket 3,000 years of history and knows that don't worry, you'll get by. This will be a joke for us, this situation, right? We've gotten through a lot worse in Klal Yisrael than not having what to drink. Okay, so we look back, we don't even pay attention because we have in our back pocket 3,000 years of Jewish history and we know you can survive ganz fine. But they don't have this in their back pockets. And as far as they know, they're dead. It's all over. And after Hashem was with us, where did he disappear? What did we do wrong? We didn't do anything wrong. You disappear. What's going on over here? Everything that happened until now was just magic. Hocus pocus. Doesn't make any sense. This intense, intense Hester party. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Listen, we'll figure it out. In the meantime, before we figure out what to do, not dying this moment, let's learn the Shtickle Torah. Let me teach you about Kibud Av V'Em. You said in the Shira, Elokei Ovi V'Arei Mimenu. Let me teach you about the fundamentals of Yados. You know what that is? Shabbos. Shabbos is the ABC of Yados. It was a bitter existence, and they learned Torah, and they were mekabel upon themselves these two mitzvahs. They learned Torah in a state of tzar, in a state of bitterness, in a state of pain, in a state of hester panim. There is no greater toiv in the world than this. To go learn Torah, like you said before, someone said before, today it's easy. Today you have everything you can possibly want. You have ice cream and you have they serve in the yeshivas, salads, healthy foods, and this and ice cream, whatever you want, you can have whatever you want. It's easy. Big deal. You learn Torah. Let's see if you can learn Torah when you're starving to death. Let's see then where you're holding in life. Here in Mara, they were challenged. It was a moment of Hester Panim. And yet they were mekabel the Torah. They were mekabel the Ikur Yisoidos of Yadus. What are the two Ikur Yisoidos of Yadus? Mesorah. You can't tell me not. This is the Ikur Yisoidos of Yadus. What else would they mekabel? Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch. If a person violates every halacha in the Torah, every single night he goes to McDonald's for dinner, and every single morning he doesn't put on tefillin. Lahachas, come out. But Shabbos, he puts on his bekesha and his strimal, and he comes to shul, and he davens mislavas for real, and he sings the lachadoidi for real. He's a shomer Shabbos, the lev of a nefesh. He's a yid. He's a full-fledged Jew. No, he got problems. We all got problems. Okay? Everyone has their issues. He has big issues. But Shabbos is Shabbos. These are the Ikur Yisoidos of Shabbos. And they were makabel this in a matziv of tzar, of bitterness. If the Ribbono Shel Olam would have written the first set of Luchos, I want you to be a shomer Shabbos, kasher tzivicha, Hashem Elokecha b'mora. I want you the second yisod of Yadlus. In Yadlus, it all goes back to the Mesorah, to the tradition of where you come from. Kasher tzivicha, Hashem Elokecha. And then Hashem, then Moshe Rabbeinu would take these luchos and destroy the luchos. You know what the message is? Learning Torah in a state of pain and tsar is not good. It's not a good thing. It was bottle. Better learn Torah when you're happy and you're singing and you're dancing and everything in life is wonderful and good. This is Leman Yitav Loch. Chas v'sholoim sheposko toivo liYisrael. If I wrote in the first Luchos, Kasher tzivicho Hashem Elokecha, I link Shmira Shabbos to the Zman when you mekabel Shabbos behester ponim. And Kibbut Avoim when you mekabel behester ponim. And now I would destroy those luchos. Kasher tzivicho Hashem Elokecha, it would be as if Hashem is saying, it wasn't chovev in my eyes. It wasn't precious in my eyes. And it wasn't anything special to you either. This, that you were mekabel the Shabbos, you were mekabel kibud avoim in a matziv of hester panim, in a time and place where you had nothing what to drink and you thought you would perish the next day. Chas v'sholoim! To send a message that that moment in Jewish history wasn't the most precious and beautiful moment of what Yadlus is all about. To be a maimon in the Gresta Hestepanim. Chas v'sholem poska toiva miYisrael. And therefore, Hashem could not write the words. Kasher tzivcha Hashem lotecha. Observe Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. Do keep it avo aim. I'm not connecting any dots because that moment is sacred. Now, when we're writing the second luchos, and these luchos are not going to be shattered, now I can express the chavivos of kasher tzivicho Hashem Elokecha. When did Shabbos begin? When did keep it avo aim begin? It began in Mara. It began in a tekufa of Hester Panim. Delicious. This is Leman Yitav Lach. Oh, this is the Toiva. And this Toiva will never be Nifsak, be Posak from Klal Yisrael.
Okay, that was what I wanted to get out to you. Let's see if one more time. We have another second to wind down the last part. Okay, no, we don't.